and next week. Bye bye. I grab the mic because I like to take you to another mental level. Low power frequency radio modulation.
You're listening to WORT Madison. Stay tuned for Mel and Floyd. We bring the sound communication of our tribal war. Dark vision. Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good, so good. I got a year. Wow, I feel nice. The sugar runs fine. I feel nice. The sugar runs fine.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel. Floyd is on assignment, but with us, as always, the man who knows everything, Mr. Smarty Pants.
I just want to let people know that you are back in the studio.
Back, baby.
After 4 months or so,
something
I think
like
it's, that. Yeah.
Almost five.
It's been a while now, yeah. So almost 5 months, that's right.
Yeah, I've got these giraffe legs that they transplanted on me.
They're lovely.
I have to special order pants.
Yeah, well, I mean, I got a lot of smarty pants if those fit. That's my thing. But yeah, it's you know, I don't want to get all maudlin, Mel, but I was thinking about this the other day, not having you in the studio. Do you know, in 30 years, you are the constant in my life, and that's kind of a frightening realization. Yeah, I know. It's like, everything else has changed, but you haven't. You're right there.
Just lumps in right
yeah, exactly.
Never go
so
away.
That was very, there was like some kind of subtle shift in the space-time continuum or something there. I knew there was something up in another dimension or something.
There were all these strange people sitting in the studio.
We had a lot of good people come in. We had some not so good ones. But we had a lot of, you know who you are. You know who you are.
I'm looking at Saga right now. So yeah. I don't know.
No, we had a lot of
category she falls
no,
into.
No, of course we all know where she is. Okay. But yeah, we had a lot of good people come in and you know, try to capture the Mel and Floyd magic, but it's good to have you back.
Oh,
that certain Mel and Floyd odor is just really kind of irreplaceable.
Took a shower today.
Yeah, that's good to know. You walked right in too. You didn't have to. That was pretty amazing. I thought you were going to have a cane at least or something.
Yeah, some kind of, you know.
You sure this isn't, you aren't just slacking?
Service monkey or something.
Yeah, service monkey. I heard there's some loose in Mississippi, but.
You wouldn't believe how many people emailed us links
God,
to that
I know,
story.
I know. It's getting a lot of play. And apparently one of the features of the story is they're attributing to the monkeys all kinds of illnesses. They said the monkeys have COVID and the monkeys have herpes and all
really?
This stuff. And the people who are minding the monkeys said, no, they don't. Like, why are you telling everybody this?
But weird.
I think I don't know, who knows what's going on. They maybe just want people not to mess with the monkeys. Yeah. Which
are they undocumented too?
Oh, well, yeah. No, I think they're thoroughly documented. Yeah, that's part of the problem.
Yeah, probably.
So are you back in your house yet?
I'm back in my house.
Oh, excellent.
Clopsy gets to run around in the yard again.
Oh,
so
excellent.
That's nice.
So did the raccoons take over while you were gone? Or?
I expected that. I have to fight my way through. But as you know, I'm an expert raccoon trapper.
You are, I know.
Because I've trapped quite a few raccoons around my place.
Yep, and, they're good eating.
Yeah, so my favorite is when I trapped a mama raccoon and about three of her babies.
Kits. Yeah.
Kits, is that what
they're
called?
Yeah, that's the call, yeah.
And I was a little worried, you know, it's like a live trap.
Sure.
And I was a little worried on how I was going to, you know, let them out because I figured, you know, mama raccoon's going to be very protective.
Sure, yeah.
And I didn't want her to get, you know, aggressive with me.
Yeah.
And so I took the trap. It was the middle of summer. And I put on like a winter coat and a hat and goggles and gloves.
Yeah, excellent.
Well, I don't want to get bitten.
No,
by a
no, of course
rabid
not. Potentially rabid, yeah. Right.
And so then I took the crate and I went to this little wildlife area by Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And got out and I put it down. I got a stick too. I don't know, like a yardstick or something.
Sure.
To
motivator?
Well, to spring the trap.
I thought you were...
to stick my hand down.
Got it.
And so I was all prepared to, you know, to have to, and I was going, what if she doesn't want to come out? She wants to protect her babies.
Yeah.
And then so I popped the trap open, and she's off like a bat out of hell. She just takes off for the hill.
That's my mom.
See you, kids. Yeah, right. You'll make a lovely coat.
Yeah, exactly.
It was so, because there was
that guy over there smiled at me. Yeah, okay. Yeah, bye, mom.
He's gonna buy me a drink.
Easily, yes. At least a drink.
But it was kind of this open field area, and then there was like this little clump of trees a few hundred yards away. She just lit off for those trees.
Wow, amazing. So much for the motherly instinct.
Yeah. So U.S. will limit the number of refugees to 7,500. It's a dramatic drop from the previously allowed in hundreds of thousands of people.
7,500.
These were people who would be fleeing war and persecution and things like that. And the little cherry on top of this, they're going to give priority to white South Africans.
That really is the cherry on the crap sundae, isn't it?
Because they're so oppressed there.
Are they? Oh, I guess. Was not aware of that.
Yeah, so.
They can't get what they want. That's the MAGA definition of oppressed.
Somebody told me no.
Yeah, yeah. Why are these low IQ people giving me a bad time?
Low IQ.
Yeah, that's his tick now. He means person of color when he says that. I mean, it's like, duh.
Yeah.
Like, do you not hear it? Come on.
Right.
You know, that's his thing.
AOC had the greatest response, as she usually does. He was talking about how he, you know, aced that, you know, cognitive test. And,
you mean the dementia test?
Well, yeah. She said, did they have you draw a clock?
Yeah, that is hard. I don't know why that is. I think, but the problem with that is that's going to have to go away because I think most people under 20 haven't ever seen a clock. So, I mean, that's going to, they're going to have to stop that one.
I had a checkup, in the last year or so, and they actually do a little bit of that. They'll give you three words, and then later on they'll ask you to repeat them. And it was like tractor, house, you know, person.
You should be president.
But then the nurse asked me to draw a clock that said 2:45, so I wrote 2:45, and
what did she say?
She was not amused.
Yeah, I know. You have the same relationship with your medical professionals that I do. It's like, okay, wise guy, stick to the program.
The administration published the new news yesterday in the Federal.
The new news.
Federal Registry about the refugees, the drop in the number of refugees.
Sure.
And no reason was given.
No reason is needed.
No. So.
It's a sheer exercise of will. That's what it's all about. Hey, I got to say that apparently the president did rule out this week running for president again in 28. So he was... He's been in Asia this week, and apparently he was en route to South Korea, which was the last leg of his trip.
Yeah.
And someone said that asked him again about this whole thing about him running in 2020 because he's got merch. I mean, you know, he's got hats and things like that.
Sure.
And of course, it's just to freak the rest of us out. And he claimed, he said, we have the greatest economy we've ever had. everything comes out of that man's mouth a lie. I have my highest poll numbers that I've ever had. Now, that one's interesting because that may well be. Like, if he's got 43, that could be really high. But based on what I've read, I guess I'm not allowed to run.
I guess I'm not allowed.
So we'll see what happens.
Constitutional scholar
he is. Yeah, that's based on what I've read. But at any rate, the president seems to be ruling that out, which makes me wonder whether he's going to want to still run the concession stand at the Trump ballroom after he leaves. It's like, no, I'm sorry, that's all mine.
He's putting in an omelet bar.
Yeah, the omelet bar. Oh, that's the sweetest plum. All the revenue from the omelet bar. No sneeze guard either. MAGA doesn't go for sneeze guard.
There's this great picture.
Enough of the nanny state.
You see him every once in a while at the MAGA, at the Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
omelet bar.
Mag-a-lago.
Mag-a-lucka high. And he's like pointing at stuff. And the chef or the cook is back there. He's got the big tall hat.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just got this look on his face like, oh, come on.
Yeah, shoot me now.
Oh. Well, I like how, you know, when it's convenient, the Constitution is just sort of a suggestion.
Oh, sure.
You know, it's like, well, yeah, it says he can't run for a third term, but they would always say things like, well, there are ways around it, or that isn't cast in stone.
They're just trying to freak everybody out.
It's like when Schwarzenegger was governor of California.
Oh, yeah.
And he was very popular.
Oh, yeah.
And he was very popular nationwide.
Yeah.
And they showed that he would do really well running, you know, for president.
Yeah.
And they were scrambling to try to figure out, because he's not born in the United States. Yeah. They were scrambling to try to find, you know, a loophole there so they could run him.
Well, today you could just say he was from South Africa.
Today they could just ignore it.
Yeah, today they would just ignore it.
You know, and then they could say, well, what are you going to do about it?
None of these things are self-enforcing.
Right.
If you don't have anybody enforcing it, then...
Yeah. You can have people screaming, saying, well, that's not legal. That's not allowed. Yeah, and the answer is, well, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
So there was a week or so ago, I forget what the subject was. They were probably the Epstein files or the ballroom or something dumb like that. They were asking that Levitt about the spokesperson about something. And
Levity, I like to call it.
Levity.
Because she's so hysterical.
but they asked her, like, you know, where'd you get the authority to do this? And it must have been the ballroom.
Yeah.
And she said, from your mom. That's the high level of discourse we have now.
And then
Yo mama jokes.
Then she gave the reporter a purple nurple, and that was pretty much it. That was the end of the conversation.
And the only reporters left are quote reporters are the friendly pro propaganda ones. So, I mean, they can't even handle stuff from those people.
Well, see, that's the thing. That's an interesting point, actually, Mel, because I think that as they get rid of the actual softball questionnaires, then how do you differentiate yourself within the new ecosystem? You got to ask something, right? I mean, you can't just, everything can't just be, how's the fearless leader doing today? Yeah. So somebody's going to start asking questions again.
He's got the momentum of a runaway freight train.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I was like on the Colbert Report, he'd talk about W. Bush, and he'd go, great president or greatest president? Those were your two choices.
Exactly.
Let's see. Well, you mentioned that the leader says the economy has never been better.
Yeah, that's what he says.
Unless you live in Iowa.
Yeah, well.
Iowa, Trump's policies appears to have caused a local depression in Iowa. And when the Iowegians are depressed, that's it. Yeah, then they just drink high fructose corn syrup right out of the jug. It's sad.
Iowa, all the corn you can eat.
Well, they can't sell it anymore. No, the Trump policies have caused a depression in Iowa. The economic contraction has been 33% larger than the Great Recession.
And those contractions are coming closer every minute. So.
Since siding with Barack Obama twice, Iowa has become a stronghold for Mr. Trump, yet perhaps no state has struggled more with his economic policies. During the first quarter of this year, Iowa's GDP dropped by 6.1%, more than any other state aside from neighboring Nebraska. I wonder what they have in common, Nebraska and Iowa.
Interesting.
That their economies would crater so much.
Agriculture?
You think so?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
This is like abusive spouse relationship.
I'll be good this time, honey. I promise.
Hey, the governor of Indiana, who's a Republican, said this week that he's going to schedule a special session to redraw congressional boundaries. And coincidentally, that was just a week after President Donald Trump put pressure on him to make it more winnable.
To we do gotta, exactly that.
Yeah, we got to get more Republican seats in here. And so the Republican governor, his name's Mike Braun, and he called for the General Assembly of Indiana.
Mike Braun?
Braun, yeah.
As in
B-R-A-U-N. It could be Brown.
As in Ava?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Ava was his great aunt, I think.
Okay. But,
no, it's called for General Assembly to convene on November 3rd for a special session. But it's still not clear whether the Senate So they're unlike the national legislatures, which are, you know, just terrified of what's going to happen if they don't obey the president. Sometimes the states, they're not as directly in the line of fire. So the state Senate in Indiana, it's unclear whether they'll go for this or not.
Yeah.
But the vice president, old Shady Vance, has been there and has been meeting with leaders, including the Speaker of the House in Indiana and the state president pro tem. And he said he's going to be visiting them again. So they probably will do it just to make sure he doesn't do that again.
Don't send that guy.
Don't send that guy.
Don't send the Pope killer.
He's working on that second one. He hasn't quite taken him out yet. I think if I was Pope Leo, I'd say, yeah, let's space out those visits from the Vance guy. Yeah. He only became a Catholic, I think, in 2019 or something.
Yeah.
I know a couple of evangelicals who became Catholics, and they're the worst. They're
really?
Just kind of like anybody that's like a Catholic is like whatever, you know. This is just something you do on Christmas and Easter, you know. These people that they go for it because they love what they perceive to be the authoritarianism of the structure, right?
And it's mostly potlucks.
So. Yeah, but it's not, and it's never really measures up.
Yeah, yeah. My strongest reaction, emotional reaction I had as a Catholic,
sure.
being raised Catholic,
yep.
is when you'd walk into the church and you'd see all these candles lit.
Yeah.
Because then you knew it was a high mass.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was horrible. It was so long. And you wanted to do like the cartoon, slam the brakes on and turn around and skedaddle out of there, but your mom had a hold of you.
I wasn't raised Catholic. I was raised sort of vaguely Protestant, and I remember going to a church service once with my mom and my sister, and I had just done reading a Doctor Strange comic, and I remember sitting there in the pew. And imagining my astral form was rising out of my body and flying around the city. That's how I managed to deal with it.
Imagine
what my astral form was doing at that moment.
That was my whole experience.
If the minister knew I was doing astral forms in my head, he probably would have like exorcised me or something, whatever they do in Protestant churches. By the way, the Virginia House of Delegates, that's their lower house, is also considering doing the redo for their maps to make it more favorable to the other party, the Democrats, of course. And so but they have to approve in a constitutional amendment because it turns out in their state they're not allowed to do this. So this just shows you how crazy this is all getting. So the Virginia House of Delegates voted on Wednesday of this week to approve a constitutional amendment that would allow the state legislature to do this, to redraw the congressional maps. And so that's going to the Senate, which looks like it's going to pass. They have a Democratic governor, so it looks like it's going to get approved. It's not going to get vetoed. And so then they're going to, once they give themselves the permission to do the mid-decade redistricting, they're going to go whole hog on those districts. So God knows what we're going to end up with at the end of the day.
You know, so much of this, we talked about this over the years, but Wisconsin was really a test case for a lot of these things. I mean the gerrymandering, the voter suppression, and you know, attacking the unions.
Yeah, we hear this stuff, we're like, whatever.
Yeah.
We marched around the Capitol to no avail for that.
We already did that.
Yeah, exactly. Over a decade ago.
Ended up with, you know, one of the least, you know, Democratic states in the country.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about this again many times, but I mean, we had like 2/3 of the people voting for one party that would get 1/3 of the seats.
Right. Yeah.
And the response was, well, yeah, but that's all from Madison and Milwaukee.
Yeah, but that's where the people are.
those are human beings.
It's not just because they like living around other people that their vote should count for less. I mean, you know, I don't get that idea. If you spread out and live like, and you can't stand other people and live in this little rural area where there's nobody, somehow you get more votes.
Yeah, you
get more power. That's the way it should work. We just thank our lucky stars here in Wisconsin that you can't gerrymander the whole state.
Yeah.
Like add part of us to like Iowa or something, you know, because that's how we managed to break it eventually.
Right.
You know, judicial elections
Supreme
and gubernatorial
courts
elections, and, you know, stuff on. Yeah. So
Attorney General is a big one.
Yep.
Hey, I just want to mention these are our pals at 4-star video heaven or purgatory or whatever they are.
Yeah,
they change their name every once in a while. But
video limbo.
but it's they're celebrating their 40th anniversary.
Yes.
So
yeah,
they're celebrating their 40th anniversary in November. They'll be hosting free public events to celebrate the milestone, including a party with food and drinks at the Rigby on Friday 11/7, and an in-store event on Saturday 11/8. And so congratulations to 4-Star Video for being in there for four decades. I know you're closer to them.
I'm on the mailing list, and so I got a little email about that, and I was very excited. So I might just well be at the Rigby, and we'll see how that goes. So nothing else comes up.
You gotten anything interesting from them lately, or?
What did I was most recent? Oh, I watch things from 50 years ago. That's my main thing. So, what was I watching? I can't remember now.
Like Dog Day Afternoon or something.
That is what I was watching. Yes. Boy, you're very insightful. I kind of paused it though, cause I got a bunch of new books. And so I have the unfortunate tendency to like dart off in different directions, and so I got a couple new books from another place that I like, Remove One's Own, and another great Madison institution, and I sort of fell into that, and so I kind of forgotten what I was watching. It's still queued up on my cassette player, so I got to go back and watch the rest of Dog Day Afternoon. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it turns out. We'll find out.
I don't think it's a happy ending.
No, it's not a happy ending. I remember the Life magazine where that story first appeared. It was it first appeared in Life magazine in 72, and it had the story of the background and pictures of the guy. Mm-hmm. By the way, he did not look like Al Pacino, you can imagine.
Sure.
They always pretty him up for the films, right? Yeah. But at any rate, So
the White House has fired the board that reviews presidential construction projects.
Wonder why.
On Tuesday, they fired all six members of the Commission of Fine Arts.
Wow.
It's an independent federal agency that would have reviewed the ballroom construction project at the White House. But you know, no one needs to be reviewed or make sure they're actually doing what they're supposed to be doing,
right,
or not screwing with historical.
Everything he touches turns to crap. I mean, there's a reason why it's called the fine arts thing, right? I mean, this is not going to be a fine art. You know what I mean? This thing. I was just reading
fine.
Yeah, maybe. I just was reading a thing about the Kennedy Center and how their ticket sales has absolutely dropped off.
Yeah.
And they're thinking, some people, independent evaluators, are thinking that the reason why it's even as where it is because they're comping a lot of their crazy supporters just to make it look like things are going better than they are there.
Yeah. Like all their New York Times bestsellers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a whole scam there.
Well, just a lot of people don't want to hear Kid Rock, I guess.
Count me
and
in.
And Ted Nugent.
Yeah.
The White House says it's preparing to appoint a new slate of members to the commission
who are
more aligned with President Trump's America First policies.
Snore.
Boy, does that sound like Soviet as hell.
I would hope that when it comes, I mean, I know that there, our tastes in things is inflected by all sorts of external unrelated stuff, but I would hope that if it comes to fine art that would be a thing that didn't have much to do with policies.
With America First.
America First, yeah. Mm. Yeah, I don't know, that abstract expressionism. I think they did that in Germany first. I'm not sure.
Here's my headline of the week.
Yeah.
Trump gets confused explaining water to the Navy.
Yes.
And if you read the article, it's his old rant about magnets.
They
can't get wet.
Sure.
And why?
Because it takes away their magic power. Everyone knows that.
It's like
the Nazgul can't go through the water. Yeah.
It's like the Wicked Witch.
Exactly. Water's life. They can't have the undead bad forces interacting with water. I think we figured it out, Mel.
Magnets. Black magic.
Yeah, exactly.
But I love when he starts lecturing people, yeah, like from the Navy, about
idiot.
You've got the wrong system on your aircraft carriers here. You're using magnets. You should use steam or something. But anyway, Trump gets confused explaining water to the Navy. So,
I saw a story. They were talking about him coming up and going down the ramp to his plane.
Yeah.
And how he really needs... I have a theory about this, by the way. He really needs someone to, like, brace him. You know, like someone to, like, lock arms with. I'm thinking Melania... By her absence, I think she has an intent there. I think she's thinking, if I'm not holding that guy up as he's going down the ramp, something could happen. I just say, you know she's got a triple clad prenup. It's like not escorting him down the ramp might be.
I always like when she's forced to do something in public. With
him. She looks so happy about it.
Well, she always wears these strategic defense initiative hats to keep his face away from her.
Establishing perimeter.
We've been breached.
That's a good point. I thought she was just trying to be like, you know, you don't get to see my face because I'm so freaking special or something. But, but you know, I think your theory is a much better one. It's like he can't really, he has to, by the way, he'd have to bend down and twist his neck, which is not going to happen. Yeah, so.
His vulva neck.
Vulvalicious. Well, here's a happy piece of news.
Yes.
The Dutch have led the way in Europe right now. You know, the so-called populism, by which we mean far-right parties, far-right sort of proto-crypto-fascist parties, have been doing pretty well. But the Dutch just had an election, and their center-left party called Democrat 66, that was a good year, projected to win a fair number of seats in their lower house. And so the Tweede Kamer, it's called Tweede Kamer, and the guy that's led the far right Party for Freedom, man by the name of Geert Wilders, his party is not doing so well. So the voters have spoken, and they look like they're not as thrilled with some of these right wingers as they were in the recent past. So that's a good sign, I guess. Hey, I have a letter here. Well, not a letter. It's from a friend of mine who teaches English. He teaches college English. And he was having some of his students writing essays about political topics, in particular evaluating political cartoons. And so the student looked at there was a cartoon that had as its subject matter the Republicans' inability to do anything about firearms in the United States, and it showed an image of the president standing on a gravesite that said 10,000 so many Americans killed by handguns, and then an image right next to it of a gravesite with for Charlie Kirk. And the student thought that the thing was mocking Charlie Kirk. Of course, really it was mocking President Trump's lack of concern for that 10,000 and some victims of gun violence.
Sure.
But I wanted to just read this because I thought it was really, really, he's a friend of mine, and so maybe I'm a little biased, but I thought it was a really nicely written summary of a way of understanding what Charlie Kirk was all about, because there's been so much hyperbole about what he did and who he was on the right. So my friend writes to his student, "I did not know Charlie Kirk, but I'm willing to believe that he was a good guy in the sense that he kept his promises and paid his debts. He was quick and funny, and I might have liked him as a person, but he was not a good guy in the white hat sort of way. I don't think gay or trans or Jewish or black people could see him in this way. His rhetoric was too harsh. He thought Dr. King was a terrible person. He dismissed homosexuality and transgenderism as woke. He supported the anti-Semitic replacement theory and argued that Jews are taking over. If you're on his side, he probably seemed funny and smart, but if you weren't, he was cruel and dismissive. Given the available clips, it's easy to think that he loved debate, but what he does in those videos is not really debate, as the language that advertises them, destroys, demolishes, owns, suggests. He was more of a verbal pugilist than a debater. On our syllabus, I quote the philosopher Martha Nussbaum, who says that debate must not vilify or demean. The idea is that we can and should disagree in a civil manner because at the end of the day, we all share the same goal, a quest for truth. But that's not what Charlie did on the stage. He did not seek truth. Mostly, he punched down by, quote, debating much younger and often ill-prepared speakers. He was like the Harlem Globetrotters, and his opponents were the Washington Generals. The deck was almost always stacked. Let me end by saying that I appreciate and admire your effort here, and especially your ability to deal with objectively with a cartoon despite your strong feelings. So, I just thought that was such a poetically and well expressed way of talking about the positives and the negatives of this individual that's become sort of sanctified in some circles and vilified in others. But just saying, yeah, he probably was a good guy in a certain very narrow sense of what it meant to be a good guy. But he wasn't really doing what they claimed that he was doing.
Yeah.
He was the Harlem Globetrotters showing off when some poor 18-year-old was trying to understand what transgender means or something.
Right.
So, anyway, I just wanted to share that with folks.
In Florida, DeSantis is—I don't know if it's a bill or it's an executive order or if it's just going through the normal, you know, executive channels. But they want to establish a Turning Point USA branch in every high school, I believe.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
You know,
yeah. That's just
for debate.
That's just
purposes.
Propaganda.
Well, yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent was talking about the problem. We mentioned this earlier, the problems farmers are having. And he says he feels their pain because he, too, is a farmer.
Isn't he a feudal lord? I mean, doesn't he have peons working at farm or something?
He's worth more than $500 million. I've seen $600 million in other stories.
Yeah.
But he says he shares the pain of the farm export crisis.
Yeah.
He's a soybean farmer himself.
Yeah.
Actually, he owns a lot of land that does grow soybeans.
So he rents to soybean farmers. So that makes him a soybean farmer.
But he doesn't actually, you know, like get his hands dirty or anything.
Doesn't even know what a soybean is.
Got a little song dedicated to him.
Now I'm a farmer and I'm
wow.
There's one of my favorite lines from 30 Rock when Lemon walks in and Jack is in a tuxedo in his office.
Okay.
And she says, "Why are you in a tuxedo?" And he goes, "Well, it's after 6 o'clock. What am I, a farmer?" So I feel bad for the Treasury Secretary who's, probably losing some money on his soybean investments.
The future of our nation is not like capitalism, it's feudalism. You know, I mean, it's like you listen to a guy like that. It's like, yeah, you snatched up a bunch of land and you're basically leasing it out to people at probably, you know, cutthroat prices. And you think you're doing us all a big favor. That's the classic definition of rents in economics.
Right. And then you call yourself a farmer.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah, yeah. By osmosis, I'm sure.
Yeah, so. Hey, you're listening to the Mel and Floyd Show here on WORT 89.9 on the FM. You might be listening on the internet at WORTFM.org. You could be listening in the future because
we put
these shows up on our archives page. We put all of our shows up on the archives page, and you can listen. Use the WRT app. It's free, and it works really well. That's what I would. That's my tip of the day.
Is that your
lock of the week? And also, you might be listening via podcast, thanks to Mindless Minion D-Cubed, who does all the file management magic to make that happen. So that's available at Spotify and Apple Pods and wherever else you get your pods.
Mm.
We're going to take a brief break and then come back with
hot, delicious pods. I'm going to talk a little bit about AI and some of the reactions people are having to these data centers here in Wisconsin and across the world.
Oh, okay. So, well, it is Halloween. We should talk about scary things.
Very scary.
All right. We're going to play some announcements and we'll be back in about 2 minutes or so.
Support for this program comes from WORT's listener sponsors and Isthmus Newspaper. Isthmus is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop, located at 1919 Monroe Street, specializing in home brewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in-Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Bernie's Rock Shop, located at 901 East Johnson, and our new shop, Bernie's on Park, at 636 South Park in Madison. We offer handmade silver jewelry as well as unique mineral, crystal, and fossil specimens from around the world. Store hours and more information available at berniesrockshop.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Blue Stem Jazz, presenting Justin Adams and Mauro Durante at the Burr Oak on Wednesday, November 12th at 7:30 p.m. Coming from different musical backgrounds, guitarist Justin Adams and multi-instrumentalist Mauro Durante join forces to explore trance rhythm with strong Mediterranean influences. More information and tickets are available at bluestemjazz.org.
Get past the people, get past the hitman. Get on down. I want to get on the good foot.
And we're back. Once again, thanks to all the folks who sent us links to the story about the truckload of monkeys in Mississippi that crashed and released. And what these articles
say.
There's
three monkeys still, still on the loose. Yeah, that's what I hear. But
they could be using a trench coat to pretend they're
just like one big, very hairy guy. Yeah. I also want to let people know that several of you during the last pledge drive asked if you could have your own Mindless Minion card. And
no.
And the answer to that is both yes, and I completed those today.
Oh, okay.
And some of our gremlins here at the station will be sending those out very shortly. So,
Those are monkeys, too, that do
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
So.
And at this time, I did consult top astrologers and numerologists in the Department of Health and Human Services. So you will have the best expertise that the Trump administration can provide. So
from the Health and Human Services department.
Exactly.
Next time, we're going to read the bumps on your head.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's coming. You got to come in for that one.
Yeah, that's a little
more. If you want to walk-in donations.
A little more invasive.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. And also thanks to Bryce, who sent us a video. I don't know if we can play this, but it's Nixon playing piano on the Jack Parr Show.
Oh, I have that at home, actually. Yeah, but if you have it, that'd be great. I have a DVD of it.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do, of course.
Yeah. Oh, I'll have to preview that before.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's great. I used to have when I was in graduate school, I had a picture of Nixon on the door playing the piano, and he looked so transformed and
happy.
He looked super happy. And one of my colleagues, one of my fellow grad students, apparently did not understand the ironic affection that I have for Nixon because he set it on fire.
Wow.
He I don't know if it was a match or a lighter or what it was, but he literally incinerated it. And I said, "Who did this?" And one of my, another fellow grad student said, "Oh, it was so-and-so." The guy was from Germany, and he'd had enough of neo-fascism, you know, so he just thought, nope, sorry, I don't see anything funny about that guy. any rate. Hey, you know, I got a bunch of stories this week as it's starting to sort of, this information is piling up. So these data centers, these AI data centers that people are trying to build and are successfully building in various parts of the world right now, are really damaging to the environment and to the well-being of the people in the areas where they're being built. And of course, they're always being said, oh, you know, this is something that will bring, you know, jobs, or it will help the area and, you know, tax base or whatever. Of course, that's all a bunch of lies. But apparently right now, 60%, so right now there's 1,244 large data centers in the world. And of that, 60% of them are outside the U.S. This is by the end of June. And, of course, they're trying to get them in the United States. In fact,
there's in your backyard.
In your backyard, exactly. There's plans for there right now about 575 data center projects to be developed globally that are on the blueprint stage right now, and many of those will be, of course, here in the United States. Now, I have a theory about this, and I shared this last week. You know, when you watch the old Star Trek program, right? They fly across the galaxy, warp space and time, because they have matter antimatter engines, right? Here's the thing, people. If you're going to fly across the universe, you have to create the matter antimatter engines first, okay? This sounds to me like they need something like that. They need something that, because the amount of power that you need apparently to do this is outrageous.
Yeah.
So invent that first, and then I'll let you go. Then you can go build these things. But apparently, as you know only too well, they basically take their electrical usage is outrageous. Water outages are outrageous. You look at some of the places where this is being done right now outside of the United States, where the rules are not even as, you know, even looser than they are here. And like in central Mexico right now, you know, and people basically are their price of power is going up and so on. So the message is getting through on this. I saw a poll this week that was done both nationally by the Associated Press and the NORC Center for Public Affairs Research and also the Energy Policy Institute of the University of Chicago. And they found that 40% of U.S. adults said they are extremely concerned about the environmental impact of AI, especially since we're not even clear what it is we're trying to accomplish with this. Everybody's just trying to outrace everybody else.
We're trying to eliminate jobs.
No, you hit it on the head. Well, that is what we're trying to do. And then whoever does that first is going to be
the winner.
Sitting pretty, exactly.
Whoever has all the money at the end of the game is the winner.
But even here in Wisconsin, they did the Marquette Law School poll, which is a local Wisconsin poll, found that half of Wisconsinites, half, say that the benefits from building data centers just aren't worth the cost. So it's a rare case where both sides of the political spectrum are very nervous about this. So 55% of registered voters in this poll that they did say that they're worried. And it's about the same. It's 53% of Republicans say the costs are too much, and 56% of Democrats say the same. And so the people are worried. I mean, I remember the one that they were talking about putting in that said that it would basically consume the level of power and water that the city of New Orleans would do.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, and that's not going to have any effect on the rest of us.
Well, one thing, it seems like a lot of these projects have had sort of a stealth effect or,
yeah,
you know, aspect to them as well.
Because, sure.
Because, I mean, a few of these have just popped up like in mid, you know, a mid-approval process.
Yeah.
And somebody said, what is going on here? And then it turns out, oh, they just want to build a giant, big-ass data center,
yeah,
you know, in, yeah, the swamp over there.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, why don't they have public hearings? Why don't we have environmental impact statements?
We fired the Fine Arts Commission. That's the way we do it now.
They came in with a big bag of money. Yeah,
I couldn't say no.
What do you want me to do, say no to that?
I'm only human.
Lisa needs braces.
Lisa needs braces, exactly.
But that's what was going on with the one over by
the mirror,
Waukesha, Hartsfield.
Or, yeah.
You know, it was all of a sudden like, wait a minute, what are they building here?
Yeah,
what do they want to do? And so the other thing is too, they talk about the water, and I'm sure their PR has all kinds of kind of wonderful scenarios about how they return the water to the environment.
Right.
But I mean, when they deal with these massive amounts of water, it gets contaminated.
Yeah.
with a lot of
sure.
Weird chemicals that you don't want in your body or in a fish's body or anything like that.
Yep.
And the frogs, they're all going to turn gay, of course. But that's a given.
I got news for you.
Well, they're ambidextrous.
they're amphibians.
That too.
Yeah. Sometimes I like the water, sometimes the land. What can I say?
Some people like clams.
Yeah.
Some people like snails.
Exactly. Right? What do you do?
No, but they also heat the water, and if they dump it back, it's not good to have hot contaminated water dumped back into the.
You make it sound so attractive.
And the other thing is, it doesn't get back into the water system like the underground, the aquifers.
Yeah, I mean, water is about one of those things that the Upper Midwest has going for it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, that's our oil.
That's our oil, exactly, and it's going to become more valuable every year. So do we want these? The thing is that I love the distraction of, is AI going to destroy us? No, you humans are going to destroy us with AI. Stop blaming the AI for
this. AI is the big sledgehammer.
You know, it's you're the ones that are doing this. Don't.
I saw a story about some billionaire who was trying to train his AI to bring about like the apocalypse or something. trying to bring back Jesus is what AI was going to
bring back Jesus.
So you're mixing it's mixing like technology and religion. It's like when Dr. Doom uses science and black magic
at the same time.
It's kind of like we're going to use this incredible technology to bring back Jesus.
Yeah, he's a witch. No, he's a scientist. Oh well, that's where we are in this culture anyway.
That's why he didn't float.
Yeah, exactly. That's why he didn't float. Well, not the armor. Had nothing to do with it.
But, here's a quote from my favorite president and yours, President Trump. I met with Mr. Toyota, and we had an amazing meeting.
Yeah.
And I said,
was it a 12?
And I said, what's your name? Toyota. I said, you're rich.
God. And they're worried about Biden's auto pen. I mean, it's like the guy is falling apart before our eyes.
FBI Director Kash Patel used a $60 million FBI jet to go watch his girlfriend perform at a...
Which bar?
What was she doing? She was like some football game or something there. Yeah. So.
She's a polar explorer.
She's a country singer.
Oh, is she?
Alexis Wilkins. And she was performing
at the
Real American Freestyle Wrestling event at Pennsylvania State University over the weekend.
You know, I bet the not real Americans probably could wrestle pretty well.
They got it all there. Country and Western singer, the FBI director abusing his power, and real American and wrestling.
I bet an Armenian could wrestle as good as any real American. I'm sorry.
Mad Dog Vachon was from Algeria. That's
there you go. We just got to import more of those guys.
Yeah, he was really from Canada, but they said he was from Algeria. And a lot of those sheiks were not sheiks.
Really disillusioning me here.
So his country western singer.
Did you watch wrestling when you were a kid, right?
Oh, yeah, I loved it.
Oh, yeah, me too. Yep. And it was always the bad guys were always the Germans. I remember that was
Germans,
back in the day.
Germans and Japanese guys. The Japanese guys would throw salt in people's eyes. And the Germans would kind of goose step around the ring.
Strike poses. Yeah,
That's when we know who the enemy was back then.
That's the way you do it. Now the enemy's within,
now
apparently.
It's like, I'm a German. I'm the good guy. I'm a Nazi. I'm the good guy.
I do not see anything. Yeah, that's right.
Just to finish up this story here, flight logs show the Justice Department registered aircraft left Manassas Regional Airport in Virginia, landing about 40 minutes later at State College Regional Airport in Pennsylvania. So he took a 40-minute flight in a private plane. Mm-hmm. Well, Kristi Noem's getting her two private jets, too.
Yeah.
So.
I think they should talk to the people from Qatar. That would be the... apparently, they got a whole fleet over there ready to go. I think they're still working on that jet for Trump over there.
For Stinky?
David. Yeah, for Stinky. Good old Stinky. Let's see. So Meta is laying people off, getting ready for the big AI personnel blitz. And Target is eliminating 1,800 jobs. Obviously, they want robots doing that. Paramount is laying off thousands of workers. That's 2,000 employees. That's the result, actually, of the merger with Skydance. So everybody's basically getting fired, apparently, because we're not going to need them anymore. We're just going to need our robot pals. That's what I've heard. Here's another piece of positive news for a change. Apparently, children's food allergies have dropped in recent years.
Really?
And this is because of new guidelines. You know about the new guidelines, right?
I don't.
Rub your child's face in dirt at a young age. That'll do her. Yeah, it turns out your body has natural defenses, and the more we try to... I think it was Robert Frost who said the only way around is through. We thought we don't have to. We keep kids away from all the bad stuff, and then they'll be better. And it's like, no, keep kids away from the bad stuff. That's not what's going to help them out. They need to toughen up.
Yeah, we swam in raw sewage
and loved it. Never complained. Oh gosh. Oh, let's see right now. Microbiologists are especially annoyed. You know, we all get excited about the big animals, the fuzzy animals, the animals with the baby eyes. And we want to save that. But what about things you can't see that are disgusting? And if you actually looked at them through a microscope, it'd make you want to vomit. You know, those things, you want to keep those things alive, too. Microbes are very important to the ecosystem of the entire Earth. So people who study microbes as for a living are saying we need to step up and think more about the microbiology, the microecosystems that are around us. Humans are driving species to extinction, as we know only too well, and some of those include the very, very lowest levels of things that we can imagine, the tiniest and the most prolific. I mean, this is an estimate because we're never going to be able to find them all, but they figure there's about 100 billion species of microbes, and of course they're largely invisible to the naked eye, but they're very concerned. People who do this for a living are very concerned that even so, microbes here on the Earth, we're getting to the place where we're messing things up so much that even the microbes are not looking so good these days.
So, like when Thanos snapped his fingers and killed half of all the living things, did he kill the microbes?
Yeah, well, that's a classic example of our human self-obsessiveness, right? It's like, just because we can't see it, it's not real. Yeah. So
he just killed the people?
I would think, yeah. All the microbes are like, what the hell?
Yeah, because if he killed half the microbes, even the surviving humans would all have, diarrhea.
Oh, something. Yeah. that was a knock-on effect. I'm going to destroy half of you, and the other half, diarrhea. Oh, Thanos.
You are evil.
Yeah, totally evil.
Woman knocked unconscious by duck while riding roller coaster.
Sounds like your accident.
That's exactly what happened to me. Well, it wasn't a duck. It was one of those big cranes that are comfortable in the city now.
Yeah, so, right.
This is out of Orlando. A woman is demanding $50,000 from SeaWorld after her roller coaster filled day took a foul turn. Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, no. You should check that copy before you read it.
Yeah. She filed a lawsuit. She was riding the park's Mako roller coaster back in March when a duck flew into the coaster's path, hitting her in the face.
Well, that just happens.
The woman said she was knocked unconscious by the crash.
So she should sue the duck.
She's demanding $50,000. She is, and the duck said, put it on my bill.
Oh, man, I set you up for that. I feel so dirty.
Funny thing I feel.
Oh, it's good to have you back.
RFK wants the CDC to study wind farms.
Yeah. Oh, God. Again, the new astrology and phrenology department.
Go get something in those wind farms.
Right.
This is like in the 60s when J. Edgar Hoover sent agents out to go get something on MLK or Martin Luther King Jr. Jack Kennedy or something. Go find something on that guy. Yeah. Now we're doing the same thing only with like wind farms and Tylenol.
And by the way, boys, when you come back, bring me a little something. I'm a size 8. Maybe a little kicky outfit.
Not too starchy.
I was talking about bacteria. There's a new study that's been done of what happened to Napoleon's troops during the failed invasion of Russia, and it turned out
they froze.
It was bacterial infections for a lot of them. There's a lot of these. The troops fell, and they had to be buried along the way back from Moscow. And there's some mass graves that are still accessible. There was a mass grave in Vilnius in Lithuania, and these pesky scientists decided to dig up some of these people. And they found 13 teeth from men that were buried in the grave, and they looked at the teeth. And we have such amazing state-of-the-art methods right now for doing this kind of stuff in terms of microbial DNA. And they found out there were two different kinds of bacteria that were basically killing these guys. And, you know, that there was, there's, let's see, they were carried by, pardon me, they were carried by lice. I didn't realize lice carried things like that. But a couple of different type of typhus was carried by lice, and another paratyphoid fever, which was transmitted, of course, through contaminated food and water. So you got a lot of lice, and you got a lot of food and water you got to eat that's got, like, crap in it. And pretty much that's going to do you in.
No.
That was pretty typical in the old days. Well, a lot of the guys that die in these, you see these numbers in these battles, it wasn't actually dying in the process of interacting with somebody else, like a sword fight or something. It's because they had such terrible sanitation and terrible food and you know, so on and so forth. So
I love it when scientists do that kind of stuff. Now they'll dig up, like, you know, Beethoven and analyze his hair.
Yeah,
and
a lot of arsenic, a lot of lead, mercury.
How did we ever get anything done back then? Everything was lead and mercury.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was mercury was a very popular thing to give people who were suffering from syphilis.
Yeah.
And basically in the 18th and 19th century, everybody was suffering from syphilis. Yeah,
at least exactly. In Europe. Yeah. And eventually in the New World.
Yeah, right.
When I was in grade school, we had some mercury in a science class.
Speaking of syphilis.
Speaking of syphilis. Yeah. The great syphilis outbreak of Washington Elementary School. Still talked about today.
Exactly.
No, we had some mercury in like a little glass container.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And, you know, and the teacher was showing us how the weird stuff it does, you know, because it's got that weird consistency.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he spilled it.
Yeah.
And of course, it scattered all over the room.
Oh,
these little globules, you know.
Yep, yep.
And so what they did is they gave all of us kids little index cards, and we went down around on our hands and knees and like pushed the little balls
that
together.
That explains so much.
And our test scores went up.
Yeah, right. Sure they did.
But I distinctly remember crawling around with the index card trying to scoop up these little balls of mercury on
that's
the, on
amazing.
The floor.
Yeah. So, yep. Oh. And then you had paint chips for lunch, right? Oh, man.
In California's Briones Regional Park, researchers observed that ground squirrels, typically known for eating nuts and seeds, are now hunting, killing, and consuming small animals.
Yeah.
This is going to get very ugly.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got to tell you, though, I've seen urban squirrels getting stuff out of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh, really?
Tubs. Yeah.
Yeah.
I lived in a place.
Had that drive up? Or?
No, I lived in a place years ago. And there was a garbage, the apartment where I lived, it was adjacent to a little alley, and there was a garbage can there. And the frat boys that lived across the alley would just, you know, they'd get a bunch of stuff for, you know, have a big time, and then they had a lot of stuff they threw out. And I remember vividly seeing them come out with, like, the squirrels coming out of that with, like, chicken legs and wings and stuff. And I'm like, oh, my God, we're creating carnivorous squirrels. That can't go well. I just really, like... So, yeah. So I blame those guys. That sort of started. Hey, got a couple of things I just want to say real quickly. Of course, you know, because of the way things... We'll see how it all turns out. We know the way things are going right now here in the good old U.S. of A. Money's running out on a lot of stuff. And this week, we could see the premiums for under the Affordable Care Act skyrocket. We know that food safety has been threatened. But one that people probably don't know about is that Project Head Start, the money has run out for classes. Friday is the deadline, just today. And these are classrooms for 3- and 4-year-olds that are located in Darlington, Dodgeville, Lancaster, Platteville, Boscobel, Muscadet, and Richland Center. So no more Project Head Start for those kids.
In Madison, some people have responded by creating something called Madison Grocery Share. And you can look this up. It's Madison Grocery Share is on their website. It says they're a mutual aid effort connecting Madison neighbors who've lost SNAP benefits with those who can help with grocery costs. We're not a food pantry, just neighbors helping neighbors, and we deeply respect the incredible work Dane County's food pantries do. Keep supporting them. But you can go to their website, and you can click on, that's very simple, get help. If you need help buying groceries, you can fill out that form. Or you can give help. If you can help neighbors with groceries, you can click on that and fill out that form. So it's sort of something that just sprung up. It's fairly informal, but it's called Madison Grocery Share. So just one of the ways people are trying to help out.
All right.
What else we got here? Some Amish are embracing electric bikes. They're in Iowa. Some Amish communities are using electric bikes to travel long
the
distances.
Dickens, you say English.
That seems to be cheating, doesn't it?
Yeah.
just get a.
They have levels. They have levels for these
things. I know. Yeah. They probably have zippers too.
Now that they draw.
The
line
heathens.
On. Yeah.
So. Oh, all right. It's time for us probably to declare the weekend.
Hoorah.
Yeah.
Huzzah.
Go trick-or-treating tonight.
Yeah, you bet.
In about 3 hours, I think.
And whatever you do, do not start playing Christmas carols tomorrow.
Oh, my God,
or
no.
I will come to your house.
Oh, my God, no. That's why I like Halloween. It's still kind of
the firewall.
Still kind of the firewall against Christmas.
Well, I saw something. Someone actually, because a few years ago I came up with the idea of Christween Givingster, where you put them all into one big thing.
Sure.
I heard somebody calling it something very similar to that. I thought, again, my satire to Satan's ear.
Oh,
so.
All right, we got to get out of here. Did we declare the weekend?
Yes, we did.
We did, okay.
Yep.
I'm a little off my feed here.
You're
today,
fine.
All right, it is 2 o'clock. You're listening to WRT 89.9 FM Madison. Pants, was great to see you.
You
it's
too,
good
buddy.
To be here.
Yep.
Stick around. The kiosk is next. After that, who cooks for you at The Real Jaguar? Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Friday, October 31st.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. This day in labor history, ghosts and goblins are going door to door to gather up candy. But did you know that some of that candy is made by union workers? In Hershey, Pennsylvania, tagged the sweetest place on earth, you'll find the nation's chocolate center. It wasn't always so sweet for workers, though, who in 1937 tried to win union recognition. Then the company laid off some of the union organizers, claiming it was due to seasonal cutbacks. Outraged, 600 workers began a sit-down strike in the plant. Local dairy farmers, relying on Hershey to purchase their milk, grew increasingly angry at the strikers. They joined with workers not participating in the strike and other community members. The angry mob stormed the plant to oust the strikers. 25 strikers were severely beaten, and the sit-down strike ended. But the next year, the Hershey workers tried again to form a union. This time, they affiliated with the Bakery and Confectionery Workers International Union of America and established Local 464. They are not the only union members who help make Halloween sweet. Today, Bakery, Confectionery, Tobacco, and Grain Millers Union Local